Okay, once again, trying to be punctual in the name of David Leisure. We start a little early just to make sure that we all have sound. Okay, I know it takes a little while to click in, and so we're checking it out. Make sure we have sound and good stuff. Yeah, good drivers. Oh, good. Hi there. No, not yet. Not yet, but it's coming up. There we go. All right, there's the sound. All right, making sure we got sound. Sounds good. There we go. That's why we start. Welcome aboard, as it's now 9 o'clock. You see, you really gotta know what you're doing here. And I know what I'm doing. And the reason I know what I'm doing is, and I will answer the question made by Kevin Daly, alias Box Scores. How many cups of coffee have I drank so far this morning? Well, yes, I got up a little late this morning at 4:30, and no coffee. No coffee for me. It's Mobile One. That's right. I drink a quart of Mobile One every morning. I get better mileage. That's right. I still have, I forget the gas part, but I get good mileage, and there you go. And it just gets me rolling. Gets me rolling. Keeps my gears smooth. That's what I do. That's it. A pint of mole. I was a quart low. And how did I figure that out? I don't know. Ask Lou Landers. Anyway, that's good. Speaking of Lou Landers, don't forget last night was a glorified. I mean, could you imagine a podcast going better viscosity? You got it. Whatever that the hell that means. Last night Ray Flowers was throwing some big words at me as well, but I told him I didn't understand it, so I'll just, instead of answering your question, I'll just say whatever the hell I want. Last night Lou and Andy went out for an hour and 20 minutes. You gotta be kidding me. You know, this could accompany you on your job all freaking day. So you want to listen to that and be done in the Donkey Teeth and the Walter as well. So we are going. Don't forget, at the end of the podcast, it'll be something new. The official question and answer period. So get your questions ready, get it going, and we'll have an official Q&A at the end of the podcast. How about that? We'll see if that brings you to fruition. Now, I'll be on today with Craig Mish and Jim Bowden at the 10:30 mark, and we got some stuff to talk about, don't you think? David, you're late. Holy mackerel. I can't believe it's 9:02 and David Leisure signs in late. Are you kidding me? Punctuality, my boy. Punctuality. That's what we say. Go up. Speaking of David, Andy's putting it up right now. There was a little error yesterday on the site. We got some great articles written by some great people. One of them is, I'll tell you what, we got this article about the free agency. And the fellow who wrote it was, his name is Danny Podolsky. Now, you read this, and then I'll tell you tomorrow how old Danny Podolsky is, okay? You won't believe it. Yeah, I'll tell you how old Danny Podolsky. You read it, and then we'll see it tomorrow. David, I just woke up. Set your alarm for 4 in the morning like I do so you can be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So we got David Podolsky is 13. Read this freaking article, and you'll see. This kid is 13 years old. If half of the crew on some of these radio networks and some of these websites and some of this stuff did the work that this 13-year-old did, we'd have a much better landscape for fantasy sports. I'm telling you. He may not be right on what he says, but you read this stuff, David Podolsky. 13 years old. Okay? Now, I don't know why that's such a big deal. Paul Martin is almost there. He's almost 13. Probably a little older. And then, of course, you got a great article by Paul about Luis Castillo, as a good young pitcher coming up. And then there's an article by David Leisure, and you talk about Danny, who's 13. David Leisure approaching senior status. That means this year, David, at the Arizona Fall League, you're almost ready to get the senior discount and get in for $6. So congratulations to David, who actually very surprised. David decided he felt an article. I mean, sometimes you feel like you want to say something. Okay, that's right. And Jimmy Dinsmore says, if David becomes a senior citizen, will he hate himself? Listen, David's entitled to do whatever he wants. All I know is we love him. So whatever you want, David. You want to hate yourself? I think you're outnumbered. I think more people affectionately love you than could possibly be counteracted by your negatives. But anyway, there you go. So David the senior. Speaking of senior citizens, Cha-Cha's here. He's an octogenarian. Whatever that means. Anyway, all right, let's get on to the good stuff. We got a lot to talk about here. And for all you guys, a lot of Yankee fans hanging out with, I know Lou Landers is a big Yankee fan. I know it's Philip Berkowitz. Diamond Daver is here. All right, let's say hello to everybody. You got the great B-Don and the Beach Bum and the Brooks from Cincinnati. You got Greg from the Midwest, Cha-Cha from Parts Unknown. Danny Goodstein is here. Good morning, Danny. David is here. Diamond Daver from the great state of Florida. And Diamond Daver's got a couple of leagues. If you want to post them up on the chat room, Diamond Daver, please be my guest. Diamond Daver's got some leagues that he's trying to fill. And, look, this kid Katz is a good dude. DK Lush and the Donkey Teeth and the driver's side. The great Ed Heckman, who I happened to meet. That's right, we met Ed and his wife and his granddaughter and the whole deal. Easy Kill. Easy Kill. Holy mackerel. That's a misnomer. You are hard to keep away. Hernan is here from the great state of Tampa. Jeremy Gribbs. Joe from Staten Island, who I happen to love, and I'm waiting for your call, Joe. Kenneth, my hero. Kevin the Daily. Leonard the Donaldson is here, the Lou Landers, who recovered from his battle with Andy, Michael Etching the Kitchen Table, Paulie Martin, and Paul, I sent you a note. I don't know if you got it. If you want one of these, you want to do the podcast Friday, be my guest, okay? Just let me know. Maybe we'll get Paul back in the swing of things here. Rotorius, Austin Epstein, Teddy Bilski, Unholy Toledo, and away we go. So we got to cast of thousands. Now, there's this kid named Berkowitz. Who took him to the site, and I know sometimes you can't come into the site because, you got work to do, obligations, but I hope you're listening because I will tell you one thing right now. The New York Yankees have a way to go, and it's going to be pretty interesting now that the free agent market and the whole winter market is going to start to take off. There, not David Berkowitz. That's the son of Sam. This is the son of somebody else. Anyway, I forget Berkowitz's first name. But when you come into the podcast, I'll remember you. That's the whole point. So anyway, that's the situation. So I'm taking the position. And look, I know last year I predicted the Yankees to come in last. Yeah, I did. So I'll tell you that. No question, I'll tell you that. But this year, between the Sanchez and the great Aaron Judge and the Giancarlo Stanton, up on Sirius on Sunday, I put a poll. We got almost 500 votes on it. I don't remember the percentages, but I will tell you who won. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez. Please listen carefully. This is pretty important. Sanchez, Judge, and Stanton. Over, under. 120 home runs. Over, under 120 home runs between Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, and Giancarlo Stanton. Okay, so if you don't mind putting it up in the chat room, let me know how you feel. Over, under Sanchez, Judge, and Stanton. Over or under 120 home runs. A lot of people going under. So there you go. Okay, there we go. I want to know what your opinion is. That's for sure. Over under. But I take the position, even though so many people are giving the Yankees already, giving it to them. We give it to them. Last year I was wrong. This year I'll be right, and I'll tell you why. As Methical has joined us. Good morning. Tito Luna is here as well. Okay, Tito, good morning to Tito. Now, here's the deal. This is why the Yankees got a problem. This is why the winter could really start to heat up now, okay? Here's the deal. First base, Greg Bird. Could have a good year. He could actually bat I think Judge is going to bat second. Maybe Bird bats third. Stanton bats fourth. Sanchez bats fifth. Bird's going to be in between two right-handed hitters. But let me ask you a question. What happens if Greg Bird has been known to get injured here and there? And I'm not going to predict injuries, but I'm going to ask you that question. What happens if Greg Bird gets hurt? Who plays first base if Greg Bird gets hurt? Austin Epstein? Tyler Austin? Sorry about that, Austin. Who's playing first base? Okay, that's number one. All you Yankee noodles out there, that's the number one reason. Number two, who plays second base? And by the way, Gleyber Torres, you know how they held up Chris Bryant and they hold up players for that 1 year of control? He only needs to be held out of 12 games. Just etch that in your kitchen table. But remember last year? Did Aaron Judge get off to such a good, did Sanchez get off to such a good start in his rookie year? It may take a little while for Gleyber the Great to take off if he's the second baseman. Who plays second base? Ronald Torres? Tyler Wade? Be a break. Who plays third base? Miguel Andujar? What, are you kidding me? Give me a break. No kidding. So you got Bird is the one reason. You got the second baseman is the second reason. You got the third baseman is the third reason. The fourth reason, take a look at everybody's saying, oh, all these home runs. Do you, don't you think that there's a chance if one of those two, Stanton or Judge, Stanton's been known for the injuries, Judge had the great year, okay, whatever, but Jace Peterson, give me a freaking break, Lou. Jace Peterson was a sleeper of mine 2 years ago when I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. You know, he's been known to run. I've had him in Tout Wars, actually. Jace Peterson is just a fill-in just in case they need help. And if they need help, they'll need help big time. So, already, what do I got? Three reasons. The fourth reason, Stanton Judge. Don't you feel, Walter is here. Good morning to the great Walter. Don't you feel that one of those guys could, it's a possibility that one of them could slump. I had 120 home runs. A lot of people say over, say under. Wouldn't be, all they need is a slump for one of their big men. Okay, so that's the fourth reason. The fifth reason, Dellin Betances. And I'll get to Betances later in detail, but Betances didn't do anything. What is Dellin Betances so good about? What the hell is Dellin Betances? He was awful last year, remember? Dellin Betances was not very good last year, okay? Betances didn't have a good, from June on, he allowed 67 men to reach base in 42 plus innings. 46 of them were via walks or a hit by pitch. Dellin Betances, so great for the bullpen. Unbelievable, okay? Unbelievable, all right? Now, yeah, here's another cause of concern. I mean, Betances made 5 postseason appearances and didn't look good. He took the loss, remember, in Game 2 and failing to record a single out in 2 other games. Dellin Betances allowed 9 base runners and only 5 2/3 innings. Control problems. Completely fell out of Girardi's circle of trust, as they say. Dellin Betances. How about David Robertson? Threw a career-high 81 1/3 innings last year, including the playoffs. That represents an increase of, 19 innings from 2016? His previous high was 68, way back in 2011. Curious to see how Robertson's workload pans out. Yeah, isn't it? You got to ensure that this veteran is at the best possible condition for a deep throw. He may be used lightly, so lightly that they may need him, and then they use him. So the point is this, okay? The point is this, and I wouldn't be surprised if Robertson gets traded to where? To the St. Louis Cardinals. They got Colton Wong. They got who the Yankees could use a second base. They got Jed Jerko. If the Cardinals sign Eric Hosmer, Jerko's going to go. Jerko's going to the Yankees to play third. Colton Wong goes to play second. Robertson goes to the Cardinals. And we got a hot petunia party. And remember, etch it in your forehead so you don't forget it. You heard it first right here. That's right. When I make a mistake, I sometimes I admit it. But when I don't, when I hit it on the head, you damn well better remember that you're not going to forget it. So let's say how many do I have so far? How many do I have? So I got all these reasons why the Yankees cannot win with this roster. I'm not saying they're not going to win. Are they going to re-sign Todd Frazier? I don't know. Is Miguel Andujar going to play third base? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I said Scott Engel. Let me tell you something. That's Scott Engel imitating me. Clint Frazier? What? Are you kidding me? Brett Gardner? Hicks? Judge? Stanton? Clint Frazier? If he was any good, Pittsburgh would have gobbled him up in a second. In a second. And I got news for you. Chase Peterson ain't playing first base. You know who's going to play first base if Greg Bird gets hurt? Jacoby Ellsbury. You don't think so? You put that down and etch that in your kitchen table. If Greg Bird gets hurt, the first baseman is Jacoby Ellsbury. Although they got this guy, Garrett Cooper, who could play some first base, too. He's not even on their on any depth chart, but take it from me. He's another guy. Frazier, Ellsbury, Jabari Blash on the bench, and the three outfielders to go with Gardner, Hicks, Judge. They got seven outfielders. Are you kidding? The Yankees are going to be swinging from the trees. They're going to be absolutely enormous swinging from the trees. They don't need a pitcher. Tanaka, Severino, Gray, Sabathia, Montgomery. I mean, come on, man. This is not what the Yankees need help, but they don't need help in the rotation. All you hear about is Garrett Cole, is Patrick Corbin. They need, I mean, Chapman, okay. Canale, okay. Adam Warren, okay. Chad Green, okay. But Betances and Robertson, two question marks. So here are the six reasons why the Yankees can't win with the roster they have. Pay attention, all you Yankee noodles, all you Yankee buzzards. My son, Andrea, the biggest Red Sox fan in the history of Red Sox fans, many years ago, Andy, what, about 8 years ago, called my son Mark a Yankee buzzard. And since then, we've been calling him Buzzard. Here are my six reasons. Greg Bird, second base, third base. That's three, okay? Betances, Robertson, and a slumping stud outfielder. Six reasons why the Yankees cannot win. The only thing going for the Yankees is this. Here's what's going for the Yankees. Boston, I got a feeling that the Red Sox, with Moreland and Bogaerts, hopefully better, and I think the Red Sox are going to get a pitcher rather than get a hitter. Yep, they don't need hitters. They need a pitcher. Sam Travis, Devin Marrero. These guys are, they're adequate hitting. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Wouldn't surprise me if the Red Sox went ahead and got Darvish. Who else? Tampa? Are you kidding me? The Yankees are lucky. The Yankees are lucky. Tampa got Denard Span. That's their big deal. So they haven't gotten any better, and I don't think they're done. And then Toronto, nobody can figure out Toronto. Nobody can figure out Toronto. They just got Solarte to take the place of. They're already predicting injuries from Devon Travis and Tulowitzki. I mean, that's not hard to predict. And Jose Bautista, I mean, he may wind up going to Tampa. So that's where he lives. He may wind up going to Tampa, sign a 1 year, try to reestablish himself. So the Yankees are lucky, and Major League Baseball has got a problem. You just take a look at the American League. Let's take a look at the American League. Can the Orioles win? No way. Orioles can't win. What do they got? Gausman, Bundy, Hunter Hart? They got two starters. Orioles can't win. Tampa can't win. Toronto, okay. So you got three teams in the American League that could win. Three teams in the American League East that could win. All right, let's keep track of this. White Sox aren't ready to win. Tigers aren't ready to win. Kansas City's not going to win. You got only Minnesota and Cleveland. Five teams have a chance to win. Five teams have a chance to be good. 5 out of 10 teams have a chance to be good. Now, let's go to the next American League. I'm telling you what, Major League Baseball, all right, Houston can do it. LA can, Oakland can't win. I'll give four more teams there. So you get 9 out of 15 who have a chance of being good teams. All right, that's not as bad as I thought. Okay, maybe it's worse than in the National League, but I haven't got the patience to do that right now. No way. Okay, so which division is... I'm talking about the two divisions, you noodlehead, B-Don. All right, two divisions. Don't be confused. B-Don gets confused, this whole podcast goes down the tubes. B-Don, we need you for stability, okay? All right, so no question about that. Now, Baltimore, the greatest importance for the Orioles is they have three open rotation spots, all right? 75 of last year's 162 starts. 62 of those 75 made by Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman. 62 of those 75 of those 162 starts were made by Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy. Now, the Orioles, actually, this is crazy. Nobody believes this crap. This is a perfect example of why sports writers are so meshuggah, right, for lack of a better word. I think Mr. Katz knows that. Meshuggah, because they're even claiming that they have a minor interest in Jacoby Ellsbury. How crazy is that? The Yankees, of course, would have to eat a big majority. Ellsbury, $68 million remaining on Ellsbury's contract. So, who knows? Ellsbury may actually waive his no-trade protection that would send him closer to home in Arizona. Are you kidding me? Ellsbury to Baltimore was floated by a number of places. All right? And Manny Machado, you know who's the team, the sneak team is on Manny Machado? It's the Diamondbacks willing to offer Jake Lamb and something else. But look, the Arizona won 93 games a year ago. They're looking to contend. Are you kidding me? They could use an upgraded shortstop. Manny's bat would certainly help, that situation, as J.D. Martinez was. Why don't they just sign J.D. Martinez? I don't know. Without giving up any pride, without giving up anybody. The Orioles... Look, the Diamondbacks farm system is terrible. So you could take, but this is just an indication of the bull dinky and the poppycock that's being written. All right, don't forget, go to the homepage. You got that tweet section. We load it up minute by minute. Yeah, and the Diamondbacks don't have any money. So there you go. But they got it. I mean, Zach Greinke, very good. They can't trade. On one hand, they say they want to contend. On another hand, they want to sign Martinez and Machado, but they have no money. They have no money. Look at the articles. Some great stuff by David. And they got some great stuff by Danny. And some good stuff by Paul. So take a look at that. Look at the tweet section. Andrea's starting again with the chatter. And, all right, get your questions ready. Question and answer time coming up in a little bit. We'll take care of that, all right? And over at 10:30, it's an hour from now, I'll be on with Mission Bolton. The White Sox, keep an eye out on Luis Robert. A very big wild card player. He's a good bet to stick around. He's number 4 or 5 on many of the top prospect lists, but I'll tell you, get excited about this kid. If you like Eloy Jimenez, who's further along, Robert's tools are just as impressive. A very strong, lean frame. His swing is compact, it's simple. He's producing well above average bat speed. His speed has been improved from average. From above average, not average, to plus. I got to tell you, he's tremendous. This kid's a tremendous. His name is Luis Robert. Good reserve pick in your draft, okay? Yeah, good reserve pick in your draft. So remember this name. He could be a big-time sleeper, no question about it. By the way, I will give you now, we're only covering the American League. We don't. You think yesterday's podcast was long? Cubby 44 is here. Good morning. Nice to have you aboard, my friend. Hope you have sound. Please indicate in the chat room if you do have sound. Be Don, somebody, get in touch with Cubby. Let's see if he has the sound, okay? Please ask him if he's got sound. Now, here's the other thing. I'm going to give you one sleeper a day, okay? One sleeper a day. Now, today's sleeper, and I know I'm going back and forth here, but what the hell. Today's sleeper, presented by Nothing Perfume. That's right. Yeah, we have sponsors now. Nothing Perfume, the first sponsor that we ever had. So all you guys out there in the chat room, I mean, let's be nice to our ladies. Trader Jim is here. Be nice to our ladies. Next time you go out, all right, Nothing Perfume is tremendous. Next time you go out, dinner, shopping, dining, and dancing, tell your girl to wear Nothing, okay? It's really pretty good stuff. So, presented by Nothing. Our first sleeper is Manny Margot. That's right, Manny Margot. First sleeper. It's going to be a big year for Margot. Cubby 44. You got to indicate you have sound. Andy, get Cubby 44. I'm going to send him a little note. You have sound. Okay, I'm doing it. And hopefully he answers it because, you know, it's nice to be here and the whole thing. But that's right. I prefer my women with Nothing Perfume. I like Margot. He ended the year with 1-for-17. Started the season stealing 10-for-15. Yeah, he was getting caught stealing a lot. And then at the end, he only got caught once in 8 or 9 of his last stolen base attempts. So over 20 steals possible. Sleepers. What do we call them? I don't like sleepers either. What do you call them? Guesses? Breakouts. There you go. Okay, breakouts. Okay. All right, breakouts. We're going to call them breakouts. Okay, can just chat. All right, no problem, Cubby. Cubby can't really hear. He's at work. Now, so here's the thing. Now, went over the Orioles, went over the Whites. Cleveland, I'll tell you something. Cleveland's got some work to do. We all like the Indians, but they gotta get their bullpen. You know, they lost Brian Shaw. The team threw an average 93-plus fastballs out of the bullpen, and that's 93.8 to be exact. And that's barely above average. In fact, it's below average among teams. The Indians were 25th in baseball in reliever four-seam fastball velocity. Are you kidding me? You tell me somebody else who's talking about average four-seam fastball velocity. And it's very frustrating for this team, okay? Very frustrating for this ball club. So, Cleveland, I got to tell you, man, the Indians really got the... I don't know. They're going to have to come... And how about if they do this, all right? This is what they could do. They could put Danny Salazar into the bullpen. They could absolutely put Danny Salazar into the bullpen. And if they do that, then they got a whole different ballgame. If they can put Danny Salazar into the bullpen, then they could be okay. So I will take that, not just as a grain of salt, but the Indians have a little work to do. Get your questions ready for the question and answer. That would be very nice if you could do that. And somewhere along the line, we'll get our notes set, okay? Hoping Holland doesn't get to the Cardinals. It looks like it's going to be Colome, okay? What happened to the sound? Driver side, if you lose sound, remember to refresh. There you go. Okay, testing 1, 2. Everybody got sound, or did we lose the sound? Okay, let's just make a little check. I know that we don't like to do this, but let's see if the sound is still with us. Okay, let's just check it out. Okay, let's just check it out. Okay, now, so you got the Cleveland Indians. Danny Salazar for Kyle Schwarber. I brought that up yesterday. What do you think of that? Danny Salazar for Kyle Schwarber. Anybody think that's a possibility, okay? Salazar for Schwarber could be a possibility. There's no doubt that it could be. Now, Boston, Blake Swihart, perhaps the most interesting player to watch for the Red Sox. He's very interesting player to watch for the Red Sox. He could wind up playing some second base. They have made him untouchable. Untouchable. He's out of options. He's out of minor league options. He's blocked by Sandy Leon and Christian Vasquez, although Vasquez does not call a good game. Craig is here. Craig Roloff, nice to have you aboard, Craigie. So, I don't know, Dombrowski is not interested in giving him up. He won't. A lot of people have talked about him, but Dombrowski indicates that he won't rule out trading any player. Swihart, look, not a lot of catching depth at AAA, and it seems that Swihart is going to get a chance to play second base. So, second base for the Red Sox, okay? Cleveland, of course, let's get back to Cleveland for a second. They threw the second least amount of innings of any bullpen in baseball, all right? What team in Major League Baseball, here's a trivia question for you. Trivia question coming up. Put your pens, pencils, and bloody fingers down. What team in Major League Baseball, what bullpen threw the least amount of pitches, innings? What team in baseball threw the least amount of innings from their bullpen? What bullpen threw the least amount of innings in Major League Baseball last year? Anybody want to get it? Anybody want to get it? Not the Padres, all right? Not the Padres. It was Brooks has got it again, the Washington Nationals. Brooks, is you're too good for this chat room, Brooks. Now, so Cleveland could have a, yeah, look, they lost Brian Shaw. Cody Allen's still there. Otero's a good pitcher. But, look, they're just trying to do Kansas City now. There's a pitcher I want you to watch. Josh Staumont, Staumont. Some people say he's better off moving to the bullpen. Kansas City will not do it. Kansas City will not do it. There are scouts that talk about this kid, mentioning him in the same breath, with the same career path as Robbie Ray. They both struggled with command early on, and they'll put it together in 2007. All right? Staumont can take the same steps. All right? That's right. You love Staumont, Brooks. And there's, you know, some people talking about him in the bullpen. Not going to happen. Okay? So keep an eye on this kid, especially if you're in a keeper league. Now, out in Minnesota, here's the deal. You know, I'm talking about Hugh Darvish going to Minnesota, because Minnesota has nothing on the books for anything after 2019. And they can afford to do something now, okay? But isn't it interesting that Hugh Darvish has met personally with Texas, and they've met personally with a bunch of teams, but they haven't met personally with Minnesota. Now, I brought this up to Craig Mish on Sunday, and he said to me, well, that's because he had he'll wait till he gets out of his car, right? Can you imagine Hugh Darvish pitching out there? But here's the thing. It could be, you know, Minnesota says, okay, now, Thad Levine and Hugh Darvish are very close, by the way. As an assistant GM for the Rangers, Thad Levine was a huge part of the negotiations that brought Darvish to the United States. So the two are already very well acquainted. But, you know, I wonder, maybe it's because, you know, they say Texas says they can't clear up their schedule. How about if Hugh Darvish is not interested? Okay, so this is going to be fascinating. Minnesota's going all out to get to Hugh Darvish. And let's see if they do it. Get your questions ready. We're coming up on the time. So it's going to be pretty good to see if the questions. Let's take a look at Oakland. The A's rotation candidates for 2018. Nobody has thrown 200 innings. So, yeah, a likely open day starter is Kevin Graveman. He leads the way with 186 innings in 2016. If you're looking at any pitcher on the Athletics, Manaea, Daniel Metkin, everybody's looking at him for a breakout. It looks like it's going to be a six-man rotation in Oakland. Six-man, okay? The A's have eight rotation candidates for opening day in 2018. And they have different kinds of talent and the whole thing. But just keep in mind that this is a team that could be the first team that really says, Darvish headed back to Japan is my... Oh, Lou Landers. No way. I mean, that's not happened. Now, Seattle has flip-flopped their 25-man roster with an explosive spring training. I mean, they got some players on this team. All right, here's the question. Another trivia question. Who is the player on Seattle who was the unluckiest hitter on this ball club, okay? Who was the unluckiest player on this team, okay? He was a player everybody was a goblin over in the first half. Second half, he went into the tank. And if you take a look at his numbers, it wasn't Haniger, Jimmy. Trader Jim is here. I don't know if I said hello. Wasn't Mitch Haniger. It wasn't Cano. Wasn't Cano. Everybody ran out and bought his jersey. He was a big name at the beginning of the year. Wasn't Zunino. Nobody's got it. The guy's got floppy hair. How about that? He's got floppy hair. All right? Seattle looked like they had a breakout star. He had five home runs. Played all over the field. Okay, the first month of the season. There were pop graphics. There were jerseys being sold. There were everybody. They were talking about him as a future MVP. Anybody got it? Anybody got it? Wasn't Jared Dyson? Come on, you weasels. You guys are... There you go. It was Paulie Martin, the great podcaster from... it was Tyler Motter. Hit five home runs, played all over the field. But the league adjusted to his what? He had a pull happy. He was pull happy. All right? He struggled to generate power the rest of the year once they figured him out. And he was unlucky because 11 hitters who had over 250 plate appearances last year for the Mariners, none had a worse batting BABIP than Tyler Motter. Not only was his BABIP far worse than the rest of his teams, it was just awful compared to the league. He drastically under... He had line drives, he had grounders, and he was not in good shape last year. So, Tyler Motter, he was the... Then he absolutely went silent. Absolutely went silent. And as far as Texas goes, Lorenzo Cain, a true center fielder. Everybody's talking about Christian Yelich. He's in his early 30s, means he's likely to decline rather than maintain or get better. A few months ago, the assumption was that he would get a five-year, $80 million contract. That's going to be 3 years if he's lucky. And finally, one of the players that I saw in the Arizona Fall League that I can't wait to see, put him on your radar, especially if you, you're in a dynasty league. That's the Mariners' top prospect, Kyle Lewis. He will not get an invite to spring training. They want him to focus on being healthy. How do you focus on being healthy, getting through a full season? He dealt with a lot of knee issues. Even at the Arizona Fall League, they sent him home. But he made his appearance in the Arizona Fall League. He steps into the box, and I remember saying, holy macaroni and cheese, Batman, who is this guy? I never saw him. I didn't know who he was. And as soon as his field presence, when he stepped into the batter's box, I said, holy macaroni and cheese. And then you know what happened? A vendor gave me macaroni and cheese sandwich for $82. But here's the thing. This kid's going to be good. This kid's going to be good. So keep an eye on this guy. Keep an eye on Lewis, I mean, for Seattle. May not be, won't be this year. Maybe second half of the year. Maybe. So, just to recap, Yankees got a lot of trouble. They're going to be wild now for the free agent period, in the trading period, and the whole thing. My sleeper, first sleeper, Manny Margot, really came on, although he struggled a little bit at the plate. Stolen bases were sensational. Over 20 steals, that's a big deal. And close to 20 home runs for Manny Margot. To me, that's not a sleeper. It's a breakout player. Okay? Breakout player. So let's break out all your trivia questions now. Not trivia questions. All your questions. DK Lucius here. Joe from Staten Island is here. Anybody? Let's go fire away. Okay? Fire. Scotty Bryden was here. Timothy the Hooker. The whole deal. White Sox gal makes it in. I'm focused, David. I'm focused. And you were late today. Not me. Punctuality. Love you, David. All right. Don't forget, read David's column. It's up on the front page. Andy's putting it up there. Paul Morton and this great Danny Podolsky did a great job. 13 years old. Okay? All right. Let's see. Let's go. I'm focused. Calhoun, Dylan Bundy projections. All right. Let's talk about Dylan Bundy for a minute. Dylan Bundy came up with a slider last year, and even though he really did improve, he improved a lot. And I'll tell you about Dylan Bundy. He's going to be a pretty good pitcher this year. He was supposed to be a good pitcher. And finally, we're going to hear a lot out of Dylan Bundy, okay? So his numbers got better. His walks got better. Strikeouts got better. Everything got better. He improved as the year went on. And as long as he can hold himself together, I will say that Dylan Bundy, to me, is a mixed league pitcher. I'm not going crazy with Dylan Bundy in an only league, but I will still spend. He's a $10 pitcher, I think. I mean, you know he's going to get the innings. You know he's going to be out there every day. I think he'll be a pretty darn good pitcher. So I will tell you, Dylan Bundy, because, look, I don't know who the catcher is going to be. Is it going to be Cisco or whoever it's going to be? But Bundy proved to be healthy, as well as better, more consistent than Gausman. He's still not where he's supposed to be. He's gotten better in each of the two seasons. He did allow more over the he got better as the year went on. 8.9 hits per nine innings, down to 8.1. His walks went down. His home runs went down. Everything went down. He used his slider a lot more. I mean, batters were hitting under 200 against his slider with a 250 slugging percentage. So that's your Dylan Bundy answer right there. Dylan Bundy is a $10 pitcher, maybe even $12 pitcher for Dylan Bundy. So that's where I'm going with Dylan Bundy, okay? Dylan Bundy. Mad Bum, that's good. Anybody else got any questions? Manny Margot auction values, $10 to $14, NL only, $18 to $22. Probably not as high as $22. I agree with you that $10 to $14 and probably $15 to $18 in the only leagues. $15 to $18, okay? But he's well worth it, and I can even see going $19. I can't see going much over $20. Although, you know, anytime Dylan Bundy projections, oh, now you're getting. I'm not huge on projections yet, but all right. Let me see if I can give you the Dylan Bundy projections. Okay, now I'm projecting Dylan Bundy to get a lot of innings. The key here to Dylan Bundy, of course, is the health. And if Dylan Bundy, who was supposed to be pretty good, if Dylan Bundy really comes through this year, he'll win 12 to 15 games. They'll have an ERA just over 4.1, let's say. He'll have a whip of about 1.2, and he'll strike out about 160 batters, okay? 160 batters. So maybe a little bit more, maybe 160, 165. I give you the range, but that's where, you know, those to me are Dylan Bundy's projections. Where are you taking your sleeper breakout, Manny Margot? Where am I taking him? It's complicated. The auction values on, and I'm starting to do them now, it's all relative to the other players. So, but I would say $18 for Margot is where I'm going to go. And at what point in the draft, it depends upon how quickly the stolen base guy goes. So I would take him. I would go as high as the fifth round, maybe the fourth, maybe the sixth, seventh. But if he falls, if he drops into those rounds, I'd definitely take him. Zelmo, nice to see you, buddy. Nice to have you aboard. So that's where I'm taking Margot. But here, it's not that I'm taking him at any particular round. I want him. So I'm going to monitor the board. And I'm gonna get him, even if I get him early. I've always taken the position that if you want a guy, you know, there are some key guys, and I think he's going to be terrific. If you want him, I'm going to get him. My auction value will be about 18 in an only league. I'll go 20. I'll overpay for him. But it depends on how my team is doing at that time. If I manage to get the stolen bases without him, I may stick to my guns and not overpay. Now, also, I want him so bad that if I have saved money in the auction by expecting to pay $20 for somebody and getting them at 18, I'll take that $2 and I'll use it on Margot. He's one of those players that I will use my saved money on. So, yeah, I don't really have a set value, but it's going to be around $18, okay? Severino or Mad Bum? Better in 2018, I'm going to go with Mad Bum. Let's not overthink ourselves, okay? Provided Mad Bum is healthy, there's no question that you got to take Mad Bum over Severino, okay? Paul Martin's going Severino. I know the fan addict would take Severino, but that's what I'm going. Kinsler seems more likely to lead off. I've got the Dylan Bundy. Any other questions that you may have about anybody? Yeah, I'll take Mad Bum, no question about it. Frozen pipes are everywhere. Zelmo the plumber having a he's going crazy. What price for Marwin Gonzalez for his flexibility? I'll tell you what, Marwin Gonzalez is turning into a $15, $16 player in an only league, maybe a little bit more. Marwin Gonzalez is not a fluke. Marwin Gonzalez is a pretty good player. And here, I'll give you my projections on Gonzalez. And I really, you know what, and the positions, you can't. With the DL, the 10-day DL, Marwin Gonzalez is, these guys with the position flexibility, Marwin Gonzalez is really a 280 hitter. He'll hit around, let's say between 17 and 20 home runs, 75 to 80 RBIs. He'll steal 7 to 10 bases, and there you go. So he may not be as good as last year, but still, 28 years old, he could be better. I'm just giving you, when I give you projections, that's a range. You know, he could be, 19 to 25 home runs. It could be 75 to 85 RBIs. It tells you, projections only tell you the type of player. Nobody can give you projections, okay? In a points league, who do I keep between Buxton and Enciarte? I'm going with Buxton. Look, I think Minnesota's making a run to be a very good team, and I think that Buxton's going to be part of it. The adage goes, as the team goes, so goes the player. Buxton could hit over 20 home runs and steal over 20 bases, and I think the Minnesota lineup is going to, you know, finally getting some respect, so they'll be right there. So I will take Buxton over Enciarte any day of the week because Buxton could actually steal 25 bases. Farrier could be very strong. He lost miles per hour last year. He played well if he gets back. Yeah, Farrier is pretty. Yeah, Farrier could be very interesting as well. He could be a pretty good player. I will say that Farrier, let me give you some projections on Farrier. Very hard to predict. Very hard to, you know, for me or anybody to really do projections. But Farrier could win 10 games. With an ERA of about 3.4, with a WHIP of about 1.2, and you know he'll get you 180 strikeouts. He's a good pick. He's probably undervalued. He's 24 years old. He's a good pick. He's gonna get some. He's gonna get opportunities if he pitches like he did last year. Last year we had an ERA about 3.5, something like that. Yeah, I think Farrier is a nice pick. So whoever brought that up, pretty good. Lou Landers gives Bundy a 3.8, 1.2. All right, we're in the same category, all right? For keeper purposes, absolutely Buxton. Farrier could be very strong. He did lose a little miles per hour last year. He still pitched well. And, you know, he had abdomen injury. It cost him a month, all right? He went three innings in his first appearance. Farrier, if he finished 2017 solid, okay? He had a solid debut. His strikeout upside could make him a big-time breakout candidate. So, yes, I like Farrier. Okay, before we call it a day, any other questions here? As I'm going to have to get off and head over to Sirius. Yeah, you needed to buy Buxton last year. Pretty good. You're right. Probably right. Okay. Anything else you want to go over? You think Josh Hader starts or relieves this year? That's a tough one. Because Josh Hader, and I saw Josh Hader in the Arizona Fall League, and right away you knew. I mean, I saw him and I said, holy mackerel. That looks to me like Chris Sale. With Zach Davies and Chase Anderson and Brandon Woodruff and Brent Sutter, and they look, Hader's going to be a reliever. Jimmy Nelson could come back, but they picked up Yovani Gallardo. They picked up Juli Shachin. And Josh Hader is going to be that lefty out of the bullpen. I'll tell you what, it's all about bullpens, right? They got the Corey Knebel. They got two good lefties now. They got Boone Logan and they got Josh Hader. So, and Logan was also taken with the thought that maybe if Hader goes into the starting rotation, it depends how Brent Sutter does, because he's the only lefty in the rotation. But coming out of spring training, all things being equal, Hader starts in the bullpen, and if Sutter screws up, Hader goes into that thing. So, but nonetheless, either way, he's going to be a good pitcher, okay? Yeah, Buxton could steal 35, hit 20. Buxton, forget it, okay? So I like Josh Hader without a doubt. Okay, so there you go, everybody. Sincere thank you to all. How do you like this question and answer at the end? Lewis Brinson or Keon Broxton, who'll get the starting job in center field? Oh man, Ashevitz. I'm gonna have to go with Keon Broxton for now, but that's a spring training battle. There's no question. That's a spring training battle. All right, thank you to B-Don and the Brooks and the Greg and the David. Nice to have you, David. Be on time tomorrow. Diamond Daver, Donkey Teeth, the great Ed Heckman, Easy Kill. Joe from Staten Island, Kevin Daly. That's right, Mr. Box Scores with Leonard Donaldson, Lou Landers, Methical. Michael Itch in your kitchen table. Tito Luna, Paulie Martin, Rotorius, Scotty Bryden, Timothy the Hooker, Trader Jim, Unholy Toledo, I love you, and White Sox Al and Zelmo. Clean those pipes, Zelmo. And we'll speak to you again tomorrow, 9 a.m. And don't forget, 10:30, I'm with Bowden and Mish. On Sirius. And I mean it. I'm dead serious.